G'day and welcome to the Breaking Through podcast. We started off strong with Midriff last week, and they spoke about supporting Rum Jungle and having a blast with those boys. So I thought, you know, let's get some of the boys on. Josh has kindly lent me some of his time from Rum Jungle. How you going, big boy?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yep, not too bad. This is your third appearance on the Breaking Through Potty. First time was 2021.
So what, 3 times in 3 years? Like,
yeah.
4 years now. I know.
Yeah, four. Yeah. Well, pretty much three. But fucking lots happened since then. I've seen you guys play about 15 times. It's been great to see your guys rise over that time, especially last year as well. We're supposed to get you on at the end of last year, but, you know, life happens. But get you on at the start of this year, and it's right in that smack bang sweet spot of you've just finished the Hold Me in the Water tour for the EP, and it's just before you guys go overseas, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But congrats on selling out a full tour. That's fucked.
Yeah, I did not think we'd be able to do that. So like that was definitely, I reckon, top three achievement of us for the whole time being a band for sure, especially now. With everything going on.
Yeah. With like, because I saw like you don't expect, but you like to see a few shows sold out and you go, all right, cool. There's, you know, audience for us there. But to go around, you know, the country and sell out every spot, you said it's, you know, one of the biggest achievements as a band. But like, once you guys did sell out, what was the chat in the band to be like, how much it actually meant to actually do something like that?
I think firstly, I think we sold out the first Sydney show because we only planned to play one Sydney show, and then that sold out, I think, like within a couple of days. So that was insane, just that. And then as the tour was getting closer, it was just like the tickets were just going down and down and down. And I think we were in, yeah, where we were. We might have been in Sydney when Adelaide sold out, like the last show to sell out. We did not expect people in Adelaide to get around us like that. But it was, yeah, I don't know, like what the feeling was. I don't think we really believed it until we got there. Like, we didn't think anyone would rock up, and then we got there, and it was fucking full room, which is sick.
So, just to put it in perspective, like, what type of rooms are you guys playing in? Like, how much is caps for a lot of these places? Because, like, you know, if people put out sold out, and it could be, you know, like a 50 fucking cap room, but obviously not for you boys.
I think, Mary's Underground, I don't know what the cap is there. Like, outside of the Bright Side, I think is like 650, 700.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hundreds of people at each show, dude. Fuck, that's
good. Yeah. No, it's cool. Yeah. I think Adelaide was like 450 or something like that. But yeah, it was good. Yeah. Like, biggest rooms have played on our own. So,
as headliners, fucking. And like, it's weird because the first time that I interviewed you boys, like, you guys were doing supports for like big bands. And now it's like, I'm talking to the bands like that are supporting you guys, and it's weird that they're talking about you guys the way that you guys used to talk about the bigger bands. Is that weird? How fucked is that? Like, is that like, you know, you see bands and you talk to them and they're like, oh, so great to play under you. That was you guys 18 months ago. How's that to receive?
Well, I actually listened to the Midriff pod that you did with her, and I was like, and even just hearing her speak about us, I was like, this is like Sarah. She's just like, he's the homie. We just like hang out with her when we're playing stuff like that. He's cool. So the way that she was speaking about us and the fact that, you know, like, we didn't even think about like giving an opportunity to a band. We just liked that band and we wanted them to play with us. So
yeah.
So it is sick. And then thinking back, like I said, 2 years ago, we were there and there were so many bands like Pacific Avenue, we played with them. They gave us an opportunity to play with them. So it is good to give bands the step up, which is sick.
And it's good that you, like, getting to your point, it's like bands' true colors come out acts when they get, you know, they're going really well, and it's like you either see them go, oh no, like I'm it's all my success, or it's more like your guys, how it's like, yep, let's spread this love, we were in the exact same spot you guys are in. And I'll say 95% of acts do that, and it's good that you're part of that 95. Now This one was tough for me, because Top 100 is one of my favorite days of the year. This year was like your biggest opportunity to, you know, get in that Top 100, and there was a lot of chatter, like, as a band, like, getting in the Top 200 with a Like a Virgin and a song, insane, congrats. But walk me through that weekend of, like, we think we're in a pretty good shot to get in the Top 100. and then the next day getting in the top 200? Is it like, what was that roller coaster of emotions like?
Yeah, well, I was actually in Bali, so the rest of the boys were here, but I was in Bali with my girlfriend and like my family and stuff like that, and I had hectic Bali belly the whole week leading up to the countdown. So I was in bed, and the day of the countdown, I was in bed, and I was like, I wasn't really thinking about it because I was crook, but then like you hear that guy's voice and you're like, mm-hmm. All right, this is going to be our year. And then the top, like from 100 down to 90, you're like, oh, okay. I think once it got to about 90, I was like, it's not happening. Like, I heard songs that play and I was like, this isn't happening. But like the rest of the boys were, I think, drunk and was like, boys, it's only number one. Let's go. Come on. Let's push this all the way
around. We're beating Doja Cat.
But then hearing us in the 200, I was driving home from Sydney Airport because we flew home that night from Bali. I was in the back seat of the car and I was still crook. And then Dapper Speed came on and I was like, what? That's 199. I did not think we'd get in. And then when Stay played, I was like, crap, two songs is pretty sick. But dude, there were so many bands that missed out on the 100. I could talk about the Hottest 100 all day. But it was like, the Grogans didn't get a song in the 200 and they released one of my favorite albums of last year. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's there were so many acts like that you were like, at the time, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
And then after it, you're like, wait, where the fuck were they? And there's been so many times over the last few weeks where I've just like spoken absolute shit on the podcast, just going like, I said in a pod that I didn't think was a bad thing. All I said was, I want Troye Sivan to care if he wins, and I'm not sure if he will because he's so successful. Fuck me. I got hundreds of comments saying how much of a fucking homophobic piece of shit I am.
Really?
Yeah. So I was just like, what? I just want someone to care. Like, you guys, old Mervs, Dice, like those guys that have been grinding for the last few years, just, you know.
So fucking good that old Mervs and Dice got in there as well. Like, old Mervs got, what, 47 or something?
Yeah, they did really well this year. I think Dice got 47. I think Sweetheart got like 50 something. They were very close together.
Yeah, because Dice got Stockholm in, hey?
Yeah. Which, congrats, boys.
100%.
But obviously, like, you're getting down to that 90, and as you said, you're like, nah. And then the boys are like, fuck yeah, we're going to number one. I don't know, maybe you can speak on behalf of the boys. How does that, you know, you maintain that, nah, we're not getting in, and the fuck yeah, let's, you know, try and get into the top 20. How do you manage expectation, but also not losing yourself?
I'll be real. I don't think we thought we were going to get into the Hottest 100 this year. I didn't. I remember we had a massive meeting with our manager behind it. And I think jokingly we were like, oh, we might get in. But I think we all knew, like, we might get 200. Just because the countdown's so different, I think, from what it was a couple of years ago, which is, like, not a bad thing, but it's just the way the music's going.
I'll say it's a bad thing, sure. Bro. I'll say it. Fucking horrible thing.
Yeah, no, like, it's not about, like, managing. Like, it's, at the end of the day, it'd be so sick to get in the 100, but we didn't. But then it's like, you know, we'll just get in next year. If we don't get in next year, we'll just get in the year after that. Like, that's fine. There's always more music to write, so.
But as a band, though, like, you would have, like, especially the weeks and months leading up to it, there would have been, like, you would have seen the fucking, you know, people voting for you, you guys getting tagged. Like, you guys getting spoken about on Triple J, or, like, you know, people putting their predictions in. You're in a lot of those predictions. So, like, do you put that to the side and just go, thanks for voting for us? Or does it, like, get into that kind of mindset of we're a good chance here?
I think it's kind of, well, the way I look at it, or looked at it, was, like, kind of separate. Like, I appreciate it. It's basically just people telling us that we're doing something they like. It's just like support from fans. I'm always gonna like that. But it never kind of registered in my head like, oh, these are actually counting towards votes for the Hottest 100. Because to me, like, the Hottest 100 is just something that's like so, like, different to anything. Cause, like, we've never been even thought about getting in the Hottest 100 before until this year, like you said. But I'm trying to answer this question chronologically. I think it's like, yes, I see all the votes and stuff and they're sick, but you also can't think that those votes are going to get in the Hottest 100 because then they can go to your head. But at the same time, you can't dismiss the votes because it's support and you want that to fuel you to keep going.
maintaining that balance. Sense, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Getting a like version into the top 100, like, I think, because I saw you guys at Big Sound, and then I think you guys, it came out the weekend after, the Friday after Big Sound.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to you at a gig, and you were like, oh, yeah, we got something really cool coming up, and I, you know, thought it could be video or something, not a fucking like a version. And you guys smashed it, and it's so hard at the moment because you can either get absolutely destroyed on it or you can kill it, and I don't really feel like there's a middle ground.
I got no.
To get it in the top 200, especially covering a song like that, how'd you land on this one? How were you expecting the reception to go? Like, obviously, you know, you want it to do well, but you're on the top 200 with it, so... How is, you know, the managing those expectations and not wanting to shit yourself?
I think once we'd like recorded the like a version, I remember listening to it and I was like, oh, this is just thinking of the like a version as itself, not in like terms of voice and stuff. Like, I'm so proud of that like a version because like a version for me is supposed to be, thank you, dude. It's supposed to be something that like you take a song that's got nothing to do with your genre of music and you take it and bring it into your genre and you make it your song. Like,
yeah.
If you look like it's like that, just like that sounds like a Rum Jungle song, like the way we did it, but it's so clearly a Rihanna song, you know what I mean? But, and that's why I love, like, I always reference, like, it's easy to as well, like DNA's with Believe, like, they turned a pop song into like the most beautiful ballad of all time, and that's why it's the most popular like a version ever, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But in terms of votes and stuff for the Hottest 100, I think. In the back of my head, I was like, maybe they'll get in the 100. Like, maybe Rihanna will carry up like a 99 spot or something like that. Now, the fact they got in 200, I was stoked. And just like before, or just like after Death of Speed as well, they were quite close, which is good. It was good to see like a version and their own song kind of be at the same level, which is good to see.
Were you like, obviously, it gets played on Triple J on that Friday. How quickly are you running to the comments on the videos to see how it's received? Or are you just straight going, nah, I don't want to say it. Yeah, you're reading?
No, we, Benny and I listened to it at his place when it came out that morning because, like, it's not live. But we listened to it. And that night after work, I got straight home. I was, like, clicking YouTube. I'm like, oh, there's 6 comments. Look at this. It's blowing up. But, yeah, no, it's... just the messages we're getting about it too is the craziest thing. And when like my mates like hitting me up being like, dude, that was sick. And you know, like the boys are always, you know, like never rushing to give me a compliment about the band and stuff, which is good. But yeah, like the fact that it was, like you said, it's either really positive or negative. There's like not really any in between. It's all been positive. Like everyone's been so like super nice about it and stuff. So yeah.
What's the schedule like? Like how, like from getting approached to actually it being recorded and then it being played? Like, is that, you know, like, are you recording it a month in advance? Are you, like, do they reach out and go, oh, we see you've got, you know, an EP coming out. Do you want to come to a, like, a version for it? Like, what's that kind of conversation?
So they hit up our manager and then I think in the morning, like, or some day, like, I think it was on, like, a Monday morning, something like that. And then he messaged saying, like, Triple J needs you to give them 5 songs that you would do for like a version, and it has to be in by tomorrow morning. You have 24 hours to come up with 5 songs, and then they pick what song they want you to do.
Yeah.
So we got in the meeting that night. We just literally for like 4 hours, just like going through songs. You know, could do that. Like, no, shit. Like, next one. we went through like 100 songs. And then we sent that back to them. And then I think the next day they were like, all right, you guys can do Stay. And I think maybe it was like, 3 weeks after that we went in. I think we were supposed to do it 2 weeks. I think we were supposed to do it 1 week, but then we asked to push it back a week because we just wanted to like rehearse it more, and they were like stoked and be like, yeah, like, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I think all up the turnover was 3 weeks. And then no, 4 weeks all up, because 3 weeks, so offer, 3 weeks, play it, and then the week after that it got released.
Was there a song that almost beat Stay? That went, oh, we could really do this.
We were gonna do Smile by Lily Allen.
So you were kind of you were trying to, like, as you said before, trying to bring, you know, a song that's not in your genre, but it sounds like you had a type of genre that you wanted to really bring in.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to pick songs that Benny can sing really well as well. Mm. He's got a pretty soft voice when he wants to. So, yeah, it was that, or I'm trying to think of some other songs we even thought. I don't know, but I know they were definitely the main two. But yeah, I'm so glad we did Stay, because I think, like, we did Smile, and it was literally just four gronky blokes playing a reggae version of Smile. You know, like, Smile, like, already is reggae, but no, I'm glad it was Stay, let's say that much.
Great to see. Good to know that it's not, like, not that too far, eh? Like, it's not organized, like, 6 months in advance, and you just fucking, you know, couple week turnover. That's good.
Some bands do it like that, though. I don't know. Like, I think there are some bands who organize it heat far in advance, but not us. Like, we don't even know, like, what's going on next week.
Funny you say that, because we're kind of in this position with festivals where they're here one day, and then the week after, they're gone. You guys are one of, you know, you guys had a huge 12 months last year. Insane.
Yeah.
You're getting booked on festivals, you're going to big festivals, you're doing cool shit. Like I knew that our music scene was in trouble, but I didn't think it was that bad until Groovin' cancelled. And to me, that was like, oh, fuck, we're actually in, like, huge trouble. When you see festivals like that cancelling, and quite a few cancelling, what's that do to your guys' mindset as a band moving, you know, the next 12 months, the next 18 months? Like, are you going, oh, maybe we're going to have to go overseas more? Maybe we just have to do more gigs? Like, what runs through your guys' head? Do you even talk about it as a band and go, we really need to kind of sit down and kind of dissect this a bit?
We're, as a band, I don't think we've really discussed it, but I think, like, as music fans, we've all been like, this sucks. Like, we were keen on Groovin'. It's in Newey. It's like, it's in our backyard. Like, we were all keen on
that. Me and Jazz were coming down on that one.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's just, yeah, I think we're lucky because some reason, and I don't know why, and shout out to everyone who bought a ticket for this tour, but, like, we sell tickets, which is awesome. So, like, we've been so lucky, especially, like, this last tour where, like, we haven't had to worry about that. But then if we just think like that, it's like, that's not fair because, like, the scene has to go well for you to go well, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's definitely thoughts in the back of my mind, like, can we do anything to help? Is, like, is it on the artist to fix it? Or, like, who's it on to fix it? Like, I don't know. You know?
See, I've really focused on the TikTok discussion over the last, like, you know, 6 months. And, like, I think punters are blaming festivals and festivals are blaming punters because festivals just see punters as tickets and punters just see festivals as festivals and not people behind it. That's the problem. And we're not going to fix it if we see each other as the enemy, which if you go through a, you know, a Groovin' comment section or whatever, the really disappointing thing is like, there's people in industry in those comment sections fighting with those people. So us people in industry, it makes us look bad. And that's not how you fix it. It's like, yeah, we're all frustrated, but you don't fix it by fighting. Like, let's have a constructive argument. Like, some of the people that could be homophobic in those comment sections now follow the pod and we have frequent discussions in the comment section just because I wasn't an asshole to them.
Yeah.
Like, and they have some really good points that because I, you know, like to side with the punter that I wouldn't have thought about on the other side. So it's like, yeah, you might get those trolls. You always will in music. But like out of, you know, 15 trolls, there's going to be one troll that can be constructive and actually give a good point of view. That's the point we need to get to. And we're not there. We are so far from there right now. And I'm very nervous. Dude, I think the Splendor lineup, I think it's the most important lineup reveal in probably like the last 10, 15 years. I'm a nervous boy.
When's that coming out?
Wednesday.
Man.
The festivals have gotten ripped to shreds, and especially Groovin', because they say that they're reusing acts. Jungle Giants gets brought up a lot. Teenage Dads get brought up a lot. And they have played a lot because they've been killing it recently. So how do you make sure you guys aren't put in, you know, that, oh, I've seen them too many times at festivals list? Like, are you, when a festival offer comes through, do you go, it's been 2.5 months since we last played our last festival. Like, people want us, or it's like, it's the other side of Australia. Like, we haven't seen these guys. What, like, before you put pen to paper, what is it?
I think when doing our own tour, especially like we just play in Sydney, we probably won't play in Sydney again for a while. When it comes to festivals, like, I don't blame Teenage Dads or Jungle Giants or anyone for saying it's like, why would they no to that? Like,
yeah.
And people are like, oh, like, you're playing too much. Like, yeah, but you guys want it, like, it's like, I don't know.
It's a career.
We've never said no to a festival. Yeah, exactly. Like, we've never said no to a festival, I don't think. And I don't think we ever will, because, like, festivals are just like, you know, like they play for 20 minutes and they're gone. Like, it's still, like, it's fun.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, it's like, and Jungle Giants and Teenage Dads, like, it's not like you're going, oh no, some of the biggest acts are there. Oh no, I know they're really good. I know it's going to be a good set. But had this chat with Jazz, and she goes on the side of like, oh, they're some of Australia's best. But then I go as the punter and go, if I'm paying all this money and I've like, they're not the shiny new thing anymore, where's my value?
I get that.
So how do you guys make sure that you're still the shiny new thing?
Are we still the shiny new thing?
Well, I think if you like, if you were in a festival lineup, like say if you were, I don't know, just in that chunk of that, you know, Splendor lineup, I think people would be like, oh, cool. Like I didn't get to go to their I didn't get to go to their tour. It sold out. Be cool to see them. So, and it's like, when we like, what was the last festival you got, like big festival you guys played?
Probably Falls. The last Falls that happened.
Yeah, so like that's a long time between drinks, mate, for a festival. So I think that's, you know, that's what people care about, and they're like, oh fuck, like you, the conversation me and you just had about, oh fuck, it's been, you know, 18 months since, you know, you played a really big festival. So I think that's what it comes down to for a lot of it. But if people want to see you, and it's like in 2018 the headliners were there, so I think people were like, oh, I saw them a couple months ago, but like I'm going to go see them during the day. So people aren't as frustrated. And I just think we've lost that at the moment, which sucks. But you, so like you say yes to every festival, you're not second guessing with everything going on?
Not really. We've got like people that help us with that. We've got sick booking agents and sick manager. They like their plan for us has worked so far. So we kind of just let them do that. I don't even begin to comprehend what they do.
They just go, this is where you're paying. This is where you're playing.
Yeah.
So much we're getting.
Playing, this is where you're sleeping.
Yep.
There's going to be three spaces at the venue and a pillow. You'll be right.
Yeah, probably you can afford, you know, not the tons anymore. You probably moved up in the world.
Yeah, I'm still using these now, mate.
Yeah, nice. Now, I made sure to get you on over the next couple of weeks, obviously, because, you know, tour's done here. But you're going overseas, UK tour. You're a band going to play in another country. How's that feel to say?
It'd be wild. Still wild. I don't think it'll feel real until we get on the plane. The wildest thing for me is that we've sold out a London show, which is absolutely like the fact that there's 250 people in London who have bought tickets to one of our shows, and it was like 3 months before like we even got there. Like London must be down bad. Why like it's crazy. They're coming to a London show.
They just want those they want those Nui boys. They just want that sweet sweet Rihanna.
That's probably it. Yeah, no, it's sick. It's going to be hectic. It's going to be because we're doing France and Germany as well, and we're just driving everywhere, so it'll be really sick.
That's fucked. That is genuinely fucked.
It's so crazy to think of, eh?
Like, I remember your guys' first time coming up to the Gold Coast, like, and just playing at Burley Bazaar and just, you know, oh, yep, cool, there's, you know, a couple hundred people here. Now you're doing that in another country. What runs through your head with, you know, do you think about how the audiences are going to be, how they're going to receive you? Because I've been told a lot that, you know, those audiences are quite different to Aussie audiences. Have you thought about that at all? Like, we might have to change, you know, not change who you are, but like change the kind of set a little bit just to make sure that you fit in or are accepted?
I've definitely thought about the crowds being different, but at the end of the day, like the four of us, like we're just going to be us, like we're just gonna do our thing. I feel like, like we always say, like the way we play live is literally just like having a conversation with like the crowd and like making them feel like they're out there with us. And I feel like our set, I'll say this as humbly as possible without any ego, I feel like our live set can translate anywhere. I think the way we play, like people will see it and be like, oh okay, sweet, yeah, I want to be into this.
There's I can't remember who was telling me. I think Tayoski was telling me that there's, it could be France, I know it's somewhere around there that, because obviously, you know, Aussie sets, they get rowdy. They like to have a good time. Apparently over there, like, can't remember, maybe you guys are going, I might, go through the messages. But apparently they like don't dance or like don't sing along, but like they're having a good time still. They'll be like, oh yeah, your set was awesome. Have you heard like any quirky things of like, oh yeah, if you go and play this spot, like they'll do this, or like any weird things that you needed to prepare for?
Sounds like what people used to say about Melbourne when we used to go to Melbourne. That's what we always say about Melbourne. They're like, they don't move. Like they do, but they do. I think we've been told it's hard to sell tickets in Germany and France as an Australian man. But in terms of that, like, I always think, like, if you come into the show and you want to stand there and watch, like, you bought a ticket, like, and if you're not having fun, I'm sorry. But if you are having fun, you're doing that, then do your thing. It is kind of hard to get any energy. Like, because for me, like, if the crowd's going crazy, I'm going crazy.
Mm.
So it is hard to kind of get your own energy from nowhere. You know what I mean? But,
That's a me thing though. Like I won't boogie. I'll stand, you know, middle left.
Yeah, I've seen you. I've seen you at some gigs. Little toe tap going.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not. You get 19-year-old Brenton. He was fucking in there, but I just can't do it anymore. I'm like, all right, I've got, you know, the rest of the day to go. I'll have to just conserve my energy. But in my head, I'm like, fuck yeah, nice boys. So like, I can see the Like I paid my ticket, I paid my dues. Like I'll have fun how I want. EPs, you know, that came out what, November last year, end of November. How long are you gonna ride that high for before you start releasing new music again? Be like, oh, we just released an EP, Like a few months now over, mate. When are you boys gonna chuck some new music up?
I think we're gonna release some. What month is it? Not this month, maybe April. Well, definitely, because like we've got a bunch of new stuff already, like we always do. That's why it was a good time to release the EP in November, because like nothing happens in December and January really, except the festival and stuff. And there's a lot of time to write and actually, you know, have a little holiday. We're straight back in, we're writing. We'll definitely have a single out probably next month and a bit.
Obviously from, you know, huge year last year. Do you up those expectations? Do you set your goals and go, this is what we've done, we need to one up it, or is it just like, fuck it, same shit, let's kill it, let's have a good time?
No, we're always looking to do better. It's like we think about, it's like we just sold out those shows, like the tour, which is a big milestone. But the second it was done, we were like, right, how are we gonna get bigger rooms and sell them out? Like we're thinking like doing two metro shows in Sydney next time, like go into the Triffid in Brisbane and stuff like that, like trying to get like more tickets done. And with England, like I don't know who I've sent to this about. It might have been Podgy from Dice or something like that. I don't know. I was talking to somebody about it, and it's like every time a band is on the up and they go to Europe and they come back, they kind of like get another boost. And I really hope we get that boost, because yeah, I feel like when we get back, we're gonna be like, right, let's do a regional tour, probably. We'll probably do something like that. And, like, because, like, I've missed playing, because, like, we've played all the major cities and stuff like that. But now, like, I want to get back to just, like, playing five shows a week, just going up and down the coast, just doing that grind again. And
I feel regional, like, shows are the best shows. They're my favorite shows in the world.
100%. It's good when there's, like, 40 people there.
Yeah.
And they're all hammered. And you guys are just having a chat, having fun. Like, they're the best shows.
Yeah.
Love those shows.
Often, you often find like the hidden gem bands there, but also like that's just where the most munted people are. And I love people watching, so it's like I've got two shows for the price of one, essentially. which is
like no one watching the band.
You're basically just Spotify in the background for me at that point. And I just get to watch old people have a boogie to music they've never listened to before. Which is awesome. Is there like a, I don't know, not like a big goal, but like a band goal that would be like really cool to knock off, like something, you know, go to somewhere or have someone listen to your music? Or
I think our big thing was like England, going overseas to play, and we're doing that. Like that was definitely our big pick. What else is there? I think definitely the next thing is writing a good album. I think that's got to be probably number one on our like list. If we're writing all these songs, if we can get an album together that's good, that would be really good.
An album in this environment, though, that's a big gamble.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think fuck it, you know, I want to release an album. You know, like,
ah yes, you know, fuck it, yeah, yeah, big fan
all,
of that.
All logic out the window, but I don't know. I feel like if you do, like, look what Royal Otis did, right? They released what, 4 singles off that album, and that album is going crazy good. Like, and they spread it out, and they did well. I feel like there's definitely a way to do it in this market, but at the same time, like, maybe, like, I never want to get to a point where it's EPs. Like, I'm a guy who, if I'm listening to music, I'm putting on an album. I'm not doing a playlist. I, like, go from the start of the album to the end of the album, and then occasionally I'll go back to songs that I like. But I never, like, if we get to a point where, because, like, albums are shortening now. Like, a long album is 10 songs now. That's bad. I want 15 songs in my album. Like, I want like, a full arvo taken up by the album. But, yeah, if we ever get to where it's just EPs, I'll be very angry.
So I like 10 for an album, but like the real long 14, 15, I think Peach Fur did like a 21 song album recently or last year. I know it was high. I can barely count. And I was just like, fuck, you do not see that anymore. But taking a gamble like that, how much does it scare you?
It's always scary releasing a song. Like, I think that's probably the scariest part about being in a band. Like, playing live is, for us now, because we do it so much, like, there's not really any nerves involved in that. But when it comes to, like, releasing a song, that's definitely the scariest part. And, like, thinking about doing an album and being like, are people even going to listen to the 11th and 12th song? Like, or are they just going to listen to the singles, the first three, and then be like, oh, I'm sick of this, I'm going back on TikTok. Like, being like, are we able enough to, like, maintain someone's attention for 45 minutes? Like, it's very scary.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you can do like 90-minute TikToks now. So if kids are watching that, mate, like, I think they can, you know, just put some music on and maybe just put like a, I don't know, like just one of those rainforest loops on under your songs.
Just so their
eyes are getting worked over as well.
GTA 5 gameplay underneath the set. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Josh from Rum Jungle. Appreciate your time as always. Let's maybe not wait another 3 years for the next one.
Sounds good, mate.
I don't know when I'm going to see you next, but I'm sure it'll be in the near future. But have fun in fucking UK. Like, that's insane. Hopefully Germany sells tickets.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
To keep up to date with all things breaking through, make sure to check out our socials.